this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spears.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 a.m. or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping, or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk. Welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the home page. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website and bring up the links that you need to stream the show. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook these days. Go to Martha Norwalk's Animal World on Facebook. Give us a like while you're there. Really appreciate that. And check out all the really phenomenal stuff that I post every week. And this week was a particularly good week for all kinds of informative and educational and entertaining photographs and videos and stories and that sort of thing. Alrighty then, it is Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and Anything That Helps Our Animal Friends Sunday. And even though I've been talking about him indirectly and the Northwest Dream Center for a number of years. Their events have been on our current events for a long time. This is the first time we get to actually talk in detail about what this is really all about. So we are welcoming for the first time Tom Murdoch from the Northwest Stream Center in the Everett Mill Creek area, and he's also the co-author of the Stream Keeper's Field Guide, Watershed Inventory and Stream Monitoring Methods. This book is in use by stream and river groups across America and Canada, and I'll tell you, he's a wealth of information and has quite a remarkable way of making scientific stuff easy to understand. I learned so much in the couple hours we spent with him this week. I'm delighted to welcome him to Animal World. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to Animal World.
Good morning. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Geez, we had such a great time on Thursday. Kathy's here in the studio with me.
I am.
And just want to start out, I think, with a little bit about, why don't you tell us, what is the Northwest Stream Center?
Well, the Northwest Stream Center is an environmental learning location that has stream and wetland ecology and fish and wildlife habitat restoration as the central theme. And it serves as the headquarters for the Adopt-A-Stream Foundation. So I'm the director of the Adopt-A-Stream Foundation, which was established back in 1985. And our purpose in life is to teach people how to be stewards of their watersheds. And in case your listeners aren't aware of watersheds, that
I was
going to
say, I didn't really know what that term meant until Thursday. I do now, but please explain what a watershed is.
Yeah, simply explain, it's the large area of land around a stream that drains to the stream. So if you're interested in enhancing the quality of a local creek system, you have to do more than just look at the babbling brook. You have to look at all of the different types of land use activities that take place in the surrounding watershed, because they will have an effect on the creek.
Well, and we
carry out our mission by in a number of ways. We produce environmental education publications that are distributed nationally. And we have a team of ecologists who provide local communities with stream and wetland restoration technical assistance. And we've also been really fortunate in being able to recruit some excellent adjunct professors that help me teach classes at the Northwest Stream Center through Stream Keeper Academy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really impressive what you guys have going on up there. And, of course, it's constantly improving. The Northwest Stream Center Foundation is located inside of McCollum Park, and the address is Everett, but it feels more like Mill Creek to me.
Yeah, the Adopt-A-Stream Foundation is developing the Northwest Stream Center, and the Adopt-A-Stream Foundation has created a good partnership with Snohomish County Parks and Recreation, and they're providing us with the site, which is you were there. It's quite a beautiful site right next to a salmon stream called North Creek, and the Adopt a Stream Foundation has raised all the funds to build the Northwest Stream Center, which includes a visitor's building that has an auditorium and exhibit room and classroom. And thanks to the generosity and blood, sweat, and tears of over 49 partners, we've also constructed an outdoor trout stream exhibit with viewing windows that look into different types of trout habitat. And most recently, we, again, thanks to many Adopt-A-Stream Foundation members who helped finance the construction of an elevated nature walk that when we are ready to open, we hope, you know, later on in the spring, early summer, will enable us to introduce up to 45,000 visitors a year to the interconnections between forests, wetlands, streams, fish, wildlife, and people.
Yeah, I was so impressed, and it was really wonderful to be able to tour the elevated boardwalk and see what it's all about, see what we've been talking about, you know, on current events all this time. And it really is still a work in progress. The Northwest Stream Center is not yet open on a full-time basis to the public. Is that correct?
That's correct, but in the interim, we are continuing with our Streetkeeper Academy classes, and next on the 10th, Thursday night, we're going to be having a show all about beavers, which is a great deal of fun and includes an introduction to why beaver ponds are really good for salmon and trout. Salmon to Salmon is actually going to do that introduction, mm-hmm. And then we're going to be providing a showing of the IMAX movie called Beavers, and then at the end of that show, end of the movie, I'm going to be teamed up by Fred the Head, and he's a skull of a 69-pound beaver.
Oh,
and
wow.
We're going to introduce the audience to all the habitat requirements of beavers and answer all the questions that folks have about the local beaver populations.
Yeah, and I've heard rave reviews about that, you know, the beaver presentation that you do. And it was really wonderful to be able to visit this week and actually see the auditorium, because I wasn't quite sure what I was talking about when I was doing these things on current events. And it's always call for reservations because space is limited. So I wasn't sure if we're, you know, it's a little room and maybe you could have 20 people or what, but it actually is a pretty substantial room. And didn't you say that you can hold up to 150 people?
We can actually hold more than that, but it's comfortable with 150. And on our beaver show is coming up this coming Thursday night. The following Thursday night on the 17th of March, we have a show that will, I'm sure, appeal to many of your listeners. It's called First Flight, A Mother Hummingbird Story.
Well, and that's you show another film at this presentation as well, right?
We do, and that show, the last time we gave that presentation, which also includes information about the local hummingbird population after the film. The last time we showed that or gave that presentation, every seat was filled up.
That's what I was amazed, because I thought, well, this is not a small place. This is really big. You can 150 people comfortably. And then you said, well, yeah, but last time hummingbird program, it was sold out. So you really do need to call for reservations for these programs to make sure that you get a seat, because they're becoming very, very popular.
Yeah, and that's easy to do. They just, you know, they just call 425-316-8592, and we'll be happy to take reservations. There's small nominal admission fees for these events.
I think these are just
$3. We have a great show all about aquatic insects coming up on the 25th, but that one is sold out.
Oh, really?
And,
already? Wow.
And then on Saturday, the 26th, from 1 p.m. Till 3 p.m., our show is all about bears, and the stars of that show include Mishka and Coulter, two Karelian bear dogs who work make their living working for the Department of Fish and Wildlife, helping to resolve bear and human conflicts.
Yeah, we've done some great shows with them. Both Mishka and Coulter have been in the studio here at KKNW, and they are impressive dogs to see. And don't you in that bear program, don't you do a simulated bear hunt after or something like that?
We do. The bear dogs they're going to bring along a couple of their humans to do talking, including Nick York, who's a Department of Fish and Wildlife Enforcement officer. And one of the things that happens when there are human and bear conflicts, which are usually the result of really people.
Exactly.
People are the ones that almost always cause the problem. But to make sure that the bears are able to continue to survive, the Department of Fish and Wildlife typically will capture the bears fairly near where the problems occurred, and then try to really ingrained in the bears that being around people is a bad idea. So they'll capture the bears. And then shortly thereafter, after they check out physical conditions of the bears, they'll release the bears, and in the course of doing so, really try to demonstrate to the bears that people are bad to be around. So they'll scare the heck out of the bears and release the bears. And sort of the end of that process, these very ferocious dogs will get on the chase of the bears and chase them out into the nearby forest.
Yeah, so the idea is to condition these bears to not come back, that it's not a pleasant experience to come hang around too close to humans.
Yeah, just want to teach them that getting near people is a bad idea. And these dogs are extremely ferocious. And we are going to have them wandering around on Saturday the 25th in the audience. But I think probably the worst thing would happen is that the members of the audience will get their face licked.
Yeah.
These dogs love... They love people.
They're great dogs. They have phenomenal temperaments, and they're black and white, and look somewhat like a husky coat, a fur wise. So you might leave a little hair on your pants or something from them rubbing up against you or saying hi.
Yeah,
but they're just wonderful temperaments and very friendly dogs.
We've got a great mix of. Classes that are coming up. I'm in the process of scheduling a show all about San Juan killer whales.
Ooh.
And our string keeper academy professor for that is Jeff Hogan, who actually runs an organization called Killer Whale Tales. And Jeff has been he's a professional biologist and professional photographer. Who has been researching the San Juan killer whales for, I think this is year 17, and Jeff's also a trained actor. And I can tell you with a very straight face that he does a whale of a show. he does his presentation from a nine-year-old's perspective, and in the course of doing so, the audience, young and old, will learn how to become a whale researcher.
Well,
and he has amazing images of the San Juan killer whales, both above water, below water, still shots, underwater videos, and just the way he presents the show is just a tremendous amount of fun. He's been coming to the Stream Center now for I think about 7 years, and I enjoy every one of his shows because they're all different.
Well, and what I really like about your programs is that all of these shows pretty much are geared not just for an adult audience, but for young people as well, and that it can be a family event. These are phenomenal programs, folks. If you have kids, you know of a family with kids, and what it, usually somewhere in the grade school ages. Kids are old enough to attend most of these presentations, if I remember what I've read on current events most often.
Well,
isn't that right?
They vary. Like the show All About Beavers, it's geared for all ages. And we do, in fact, have a lot of kids coming with their parents and grandparents or grandparents with grandkids, that sort of thing.
Yeah, because what a great foundation to instill in your children to understand about these animals. And it isn't just a fluffy surface education, and they make it fun and entertaining, but you understand about the habits and habitats and habitat requirements and all about these animals and having them grow up with an appreciation of all of that is so important. And then what I wanted to mention here before we take a quick break is I mentioned earlier that the Stream Foundation or the Stream Center location is not open on a full-time basis yet for the public to just come and walk the elevated boardwalk and stuff anytime. That's coming soon, but one of the ways to see it now is, of course, to come to one of the programs that involves or includes a walk on the boardwalk and a tour, because you do those from time to time. So there are opportunities for the public to get up and actually see the place, right?
We are going to be scheduling, we don't have these posted yet, but we anticipate we'll be scheduling a few salmon in the forest workshops at the Northwest Stream Center a little later this month. And those will be limited to no more than 30 people per event. And the reason for that is, the show involves a wonderful film that's narrated by David Suzuki called Salmon in the Forest. And then we're going to take the audience on a naturalist guided tour through our very own salmon forest at the Northwest Stream Center.
And it truly is a salmon forest. It's wonderful.
And that term salmon in the forest is based in the very real fact that salmon in the Pacific Northwest are intricately tied to all of the forests. So salmon return to streams and rivers in the Pacific Northwest, and all except for the steelhead, after spawning, the Pacific salmon will die. And the nutrients from their bodies will immediately become sources of nutrients from microorganisms in the stream system, which become sources of food for aquatic insects, which become sources of food for fish, and so forth. But if you were to do a radioisotope study of a stand of alder trees next to an area where a large number of salmon had spawned and died, uh-huh, within about 2 weeks, you'll find nutrients from the decaying bodies absorbed into the root system of the alder trees.
Wow.
So the and eagles that will come down and grab salmon carcasses from the streams and rivers will fly away from the stream system and eat parts of the salmon they like, and they'll leave the rest there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the nutrients in the salmon will be found far away from the stream systems in the surrounding watershed. And bears will gather salmon from the rivers and eat near the stream system. Coyotes will come down and grab what's left and take it further away. And then other animals will drag these carcasses further and further away from the stream system. So many of our Northwest streams or forests wouldn't be as vibrant as they were if it wasn't for the salmon run. And in turn, those very same forests help protect and nurture the salmon, because the shade of the trees helps keep the air temperature cool, which in turn keeps the water temperature cool, and salmon and trout must have cool water to survive, and with lots of oxygen in it. And cold water holds oxygen, whereas warm water, typically the oxygen molecules will expand up into the atmosphere. So,
and of course, with the warmer weather we're having, understanding how this relationship and how this all works is becoming more and more important. And now we're going to take a short time out here, Tom. We need to take care of our advertisers, because without them, we can't do these shows. So it is the most important part of the show. And then as we continue, we're going to talk more from Tom about the relationship between everything that makes a difference out in you know, the salmon in the forest, what we learned about these creeks and the areas around them, and then the construction. There's a really great I would call it a green shed, and how that was built, and then and retrieving the wetlands around the area where they are, and then how this elevated boardwalk was built without disturbing the underlying ground at all. It's really phenomenal. So we'll talk all about that. Stay right where you are. We are chatting with Tom Murdoch, who is the director of the Adopt a Stream Foundation at the Northwest Stream Center in the Everett Mill Creek area. And we will continue with that straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Did you know that there's a gentle energy balancing method for restoring health, mobility, and athletic performance for your dog, cat, or horse? bioenergetic synchronization, as used by Nels Rasmussen, creates transformations in health, mobility, and performance. To learn more, you can visit online, NelsHealingMinistry.com, or call 425-238-2668. That's 425-238-2668.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Acutonics for Dogs and Cats and Acutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Following the herd is fine until they lead you off a cliff. Think for yourself. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and I just want to say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And you heard about our wonderful bioenergetic synchronization technique practitioner. That would be Dr. Nels Rasmussen, who does this, become so incredibly popular here on the show and doing remote treatments. If you want to check him out, check out the website and the testimonials at www.nelshealingministry.com. And also check out whispering-dragon.com, our great harmonic energy shifters, Jude and Paul Ponton. You can give them a call at 206-706-2836 to take advantage of their special Animal World promotion. If you book a new patient session, it's $10 off. You book a remote, it's $20 off, and that deal is through March 20th. Alrighty then, we're going to get back to our shelter, rescue, sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday, and we are in the middle of a conversation with Tom Murdoch, the director of the Adopt a Stream Foundation at the Northwest Stream Center in McCollum Park in Everett. And Kathy and I were up there and spent a delightful and very educational 2 hours with Tom this last week. Good morning, Tom. Welcome back to the show.
Nice to be back.
And, boy, there's just so much to talk about. And, you, like I said, you're really still a work in progress, but just being in the auditorium where the programs are held, you have a phenomenal amount of educational material. A lot of books about, you know, well, salmon and streams and wildlife of all kinds, and many of them are for sale.
Yeah, we have a small nature store that we put together, and most of the items we have available for educational purposes can be viewed from the Nature Store link on our website, which is streamkeeper.org. And if that's a challenge to remember, you can remember, go to adoptastreamfoundation.org. We own the domains for both of those website. Okay. So either one will get you there. And then just link onto the nature store, and you can see the array of choices that we have for educational materials.
Yeah, and pretty much always, folks, there is something from the Northwest Stream Center on the current events list on the Animal World website, marthanorwalk.com. Just click on current events. You'll find the, like right now, the beaver program coming up and the hummingbird program coming up are both listed on current events, and they both include links to the streamkeeper.org website. So they can, yeah, go ahead, Kathy.
And one thing that I noticed, too, is you have a wonderful, I would say, extensive library as well with all kinds of information. And yeah, is that open to the public, or?
Or will it be?
The research library at the Stream Center is available to the members of the Adopt Stream Foundation. And we certainly would encourage everybody to become a member of the foundation.
I did.
You are the newest member of the foundation, so privileges that you now have include discounts on the majority of the Streamkeeper Academy events that we have, where we have admission charges. And you, Martha, can now get a 10% discount on our Nature Store items.
Hey, cool. Well, that's why I wanted to support, to join. I figure because I'm making it my purpose this next year to get to all the programs sooner or later because they're so fantastic. And so I get a discount that way. But I also, you can help support the great work they're doing and pay for this wonderful elevated boardwalk. And I would love to be a Chinook sponsor, but I can't quite afford that at this point. But
yeah,
I did sponsor a board on the boardwalk. So there's a Martha Norwalk board now on that boardwalk.
And you can also adopt a bench too.
Oh yeah, that's right. There's lots of ways because we want to talk about
dedication bench.
Well, that's a good thing. Why don't we talk about the elevated boardwalk that has just recently been completed, has it not?
Yes. Well, again, we've finished the main line of the elevated nature walk. It's a half mile. And
goes around in a big circle.
It's a nice loop through very complex forest and wetland areas, and one of the viewpoints along the way is called the Salmon Arena viewpoint that gives you a very good look at really good spawning and rearing habitat in North Creek, which is the salmon stream that flows on the western boundary of the Northwest Stream Center. So it actually flows right down through McCullen Park from its headwaters up in north of Everett Mall Way, and then it flows down through South Everett underneath 405 and then past Northwest Stream Center through Mill Creek underneath 405, past the Canyon Park Business Center, down past the Schnitzer Business Center, which I think is now the Bothell Business Center, and then the University of Washington, the Bothell campus to the Sammamish River.
So it's amazing how long some of these streams really are. And one thing that I realized in being there, because Tom took us out, there's a bridge over this North Creek. So we were able to stand on the bridge and watch the creek. And, I first thought, well, it doesn't seem like a very big creek, and it's not all that deep and so forth. But then once I started looking at the maps and started hearing Tom talk about all of this, it's like, wow, you can't dismiss these streams as thinking that they're not important because they're not huge bodies of water. These streams are critically important to the fish and the wildlife and all of that, right?
Exactly. And North Creek, the bridge you're talking about is open to the public all the time. We built the bridge crossing over North Creek so that we could take out students from our classes so they could actually stand over the top of the creek and learn how streams function, not just by listening to a talking head, but by looking at the stream system that we're talking about. And that stream is from where it begins, its headwaters up north of Everett Mall Way to the mouth down by the University of Washington Bothell campus, is over 10 miles long.
Yeah.
And the surrounding watershed that drains into the stream averages 2.5 to 3 miles wide. So you've got roughly 30 square miles of land that is drained by North Creek, and it's shared by around 90,000 people, lots of rooftops, parking lots, and driveways, And when it rains, all that water goes down to the over 10,000 storm drains that then lead to the creek.
Well, that's what I wondered. So when you're talking about the watershed, you already told us that the watershed is the area surrounding, like, a creek that the water feeds in from that area to the creek. So that means you're saying that, like, the watershed, the North Creek watershed, that you say that, like, it extends 2-3 miles either side?
That's correct.
So that means that people could be living a mile or two or even 3 miles away from North Creek. They might not even know North Creek exists. But what they're doing on their property, in their yard, what they're washing their car with, what they're putting on their grass or, you know, in all of that can actually affect what's going on in that North Creek, right?
Exactly. And unless you're in a larger city like Seattle or the north end of Everett, the storm drains that are commonly seen in parking lots or along roads will drain in the downtown Seattle area, north end of Everett. The storm drains actually lead to a sewer treatment plant, but everywhere else, the storm drains will lead directly or indirectly into a local stream, creek, river, lake, or flow directly into Puget Sound. And with few exceptions, those storm drains have no filtration. So the school group that's doing a fundraising car wash, say at Jackson High School or Marysville Pilchuck High School, Arlington High School, any of the, you know, the high school areas, the soap suds that there are a byproduct of the car wash are going to wind up in a local stream, creek, or river.
Wow.
So in those cases, we actually encourage the kids to consider getting discounted tickets from some of the local car washes that actually filter and recycle their water. And instead of giving car washes, consider selling discounted tickets so people can go get car washes.
I see.
Where it's not going to cause harm to the environment.
Well, see, because that's something that most people would never think about. You think the local car wash supporting the local school or whatever is a really good thing, but you don't think about it. So I wonder, do you know, are there like soaps available these days that you could use in a situation like that that would not be harmful going into the watershed?
Actually, no, I don't.
But, Kathy, you're nodding your head. Do you think there is?
There's some that are less harmful than others, but it's a combination of the soap and then all the other crud that you're washing off of the car itself.
Right. Yeah.
That winds up going down the drain. So the best thing to do is to, if you don't have another alternative and that's you're bound to determine that sort of thing, is to come to someone like us where we have a car wash kit that you can put a tray with a sump pump down below the storm drain, and then your suds would go down the drain. Then you can pump the sudsy water out and release it into a landscape area nearby and have it go into the ground. And we have one of those car wash kits which we loan out for free to groups that have interest in doing that. It takes a little more time than simply letting this stuff go down the drain,
right?
But it's the right thing to do.
That's amazing, and that's why I think the programs that happen at the Northwest Stream Center are so important for families to get involved with and attend, because one of the best thing we can do is educate our children as they're growing up, so they grow up with a mindset really thinking about the environment and what they're doing. And there's so much more going on out at the Northwest Stream Center than just this kind of stuff. I mean, you have that wonderful tell us about the shed.
Well, I'll take you and your listeners through a quick verbal tour of the Stream Center.
Sure. Yeah.
And when we are ready to open again, that's going to be a few months down the road. One of the first things that you'll notice when you come is our gatehouse. And the gatehouse is there thanks to the generosity of one of our members, Elsie Sorgenfree, and a company called Modern Shed.
Mm-hmm.
That makes prefabricated structures from you know, simple 10x12 sheds that you might use as a backyard yoga
studio.
Mm-hmm. Or a extra bedroom or a radio studio.
Hey, how about that?
But they also make houses as well. And one of the things that we like about the modern shed approach is the structures themselves are so well insulated that they can be heated with very little energy use. In fact, our gatehouse, when we turn the lights on inside, that's all the heat we seem to need.
Wow.
The we also wanted to demonstrate that you can build a structure without disturbing the underlying soil. So our gatehouse has actually been constructed on concrete piers. And
that's the same as the boardwalk as well, right?
Yes, it is. And our modern shed also has a green roof. And so we've got a layer of soil with plant life growing on top of that. And, of course, green roofs, unless they're really, really thick, which require a huge underlying structure, once they get saturated, water will run off. In our case, we have our green roof overflowing into two rain barrels, and that water from there will be overflowing into a rain garden where the water can infiltrate down into the ground and recharge the groundwater system. So we want to get people impressed on this concept of low-impact design as soon as they come to the Northwest Dream Center.
Yeah.
Shortly, thanks to a recent agreement with Mutual Materials, we're going to be improving the entry trail to the Northwest Dream Center with a porous pavement walkway.
Mm.
So the walkway will be very comfortable for our visitors to come on and accessible for everyone, whether they're walking or rolling.
Yeah.
And when it rains, the water will go right down between the spaces and the pavers through an under-drained system made of gravel into the groundwater system. And then as you continue down the entry trail walk, you'll come to a 4-foot-high, 8-foot-long, 3-inch-thick acrylic viewing window that will enable you to look into a deep pool in the newest trout stream in the state of Washington. And there you'll get a... if you're quiet...
Mm-hmm.
And don't make too much racket, you'll get a chance to see some wild trout in this newest trout stream. Unlike the old Seattle Aquarium and some other aquariums around, the fish that are in our trout stream, we don't feed them.
Uh-huh.
We've created this 160-foot-long stream to become natural habitat for a population of cutthroat trout. And in the course of doing so, we've sort of replicated a natural environment, and we've created a habitat where an abundant and diverse supply of aquatic insects have decided that it's a good place to be as well. And they are the primary food for the salmon and trout. We also have freshwater clams, freshwater mussels, crayfish, brook lamprey eels, sculpin. We've essentially replicated a natural system. The big distinction between natural system and our trout stream exhibit is that you can look into the stream without getting wet.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a second viewing window as you move further down the entry trail, where you'll be able to look at most people don't realize we have freshwater mussels. They're every bit as...
I had no idea we had freshwater. I didn't even know we had freshwater clams until Thursday.
Freshwater mussels, they're actually larger, and generally larger than the saltwater variety that you may get that are in your local restaurants. And these freshwater mussels are kind of linked to cutthroat trout.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, the freshwater mussels will live over 100 years.
Wow.
Very long-lived animal. And each one will typically filter out between 13 and 15, sometimes up to 20 gallons of water a day.
Wow. So they work as the water filters, huh?
They are certainly part of that natural filtration process. But they're also very sensitive to pollutants, so if there's a lot of pollutants going through the water, they don't survive. It's up to us, the people, to make sure we keep our natural filtration system functioning. Uh-huh. And then when these mussels spawn and newly fertilized mussel larvae are released out into the water column, they get caught up in the gills of trout. And when trout swim upstream and go through their spawning process, they'll shake out mussels in different locations. So mussel beds and stream systems are often, you'll find them in different locations, kind of scratch your head. So how does this mussel get, how do mussels from here get up there? Well, they hitch a ride with salmon and trout. So there's this symbiotic relationship between freshwater mussels and salmon, steelhead, and trout that most people aren't aware of.
Now, Tom, didn't you say to us that some of the salmon or fish also ingest these mussels, and the mussels are able to withstand the digestive system?
No, that was actually a reference to the fingernail clams.
The clams, okay. That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, and fingernail clams are typically found in small ponds. And that discussion came up as we were walking down around the boardwalk.
Right.
Fingernail clams, very, very tiny, and usually aquatic birds, when they're rooting around in the mud in a pond area, will, looking for various sources of food, will ingest these fingernail clams. And the clams are tough, and they seem to survive the digestive tracts of the birds. And the birds will sometimes transport freshwater mussel populations from one location to another as well.
All right.
Basically, the freshwater mussels will get deposited in a different pond than where they were picked up. And then that's one of the ways that you'll get these freshwater mussels out in locations you wouldn't expect to find them.
All right. We've got to take time here to take care of our advertisers for the last time in this hour. Tom, I'll hold on for a moment, and then as we continue, hopefully we'll have a chance to talk a little bit about the construction of the boardwalk and this new type of construction that doesn't disturb any of the ground below, and then the programs that are coming up this month before we run out of time in this hour. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Ever wonder what your pet is thinking, why they do certain things, or how they're adapting to a change in the household? Darcy Pariso, animal intuitive medium and Reiki master, can help you with all of those things. Darcy can help you connect with your pet or other animal, here or in spirit. She'll also share messages including your pet's past lives and soul purpose. Clients say Darcy's readings are so much more than they expected and result in a deeper bond with her pets. Contact Darcy at darcypariso.com. That's Darcy Pariso, P-A-R-I-S-O.com. Or call 425-280-5132. Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Remember, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, I'm Martha Norwalk, and I'm sorry to say we're winding down the second hour of Animal World, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We're talking to Tom Murdoch, the director of the Adopt a Stream Foundation at the Northwest Stream Center in Everett. And, Tom, before we run out of time, Kathy and I were just talking about how much we enjoyed the walk around the elevated boardwalk at the Stream Center, and Kathy wanted me to remind everybody that when we do go up to the Stream Center, that dogs are not allowed within the Stream Center itself. I do think you can have dogs on leash at the McCollum Park, and there are nice trails in the McCollum Park, but they're not allowed in the Stream Center. So just so you know that. So Tom, are you there?
I am.
Oh, yeah, you are. Can you cover just a minute how that, you know, the elevated boardwalk is so wonderful, but it takes a half a mile out, and you're out in the middle of this wetland area where it's really kind of all marshy, and then, you know, there's the streams and creek sort of stuff. But it's like it almost is like it's floating in the air above. So how is it constructed?
Well, you know, I'm really glad that you got that sense that you were floating across the forest and wetland floor,
yeah,
because that was one of our objectives.
Mm.
And we, when we were designing this, and I have to give credit to our volunteers for doing the design work, and the majority of the construction was done by volunteers as well. We have over 10,000 hours of volunteer time,
wow,
involved in this project. But designed the route, we thought we need to make this thing in such a way that we practice what we preach, and that is really have a minimal impact on the environment. So we took great care in excavating out the desirable vegetation that would have otherwise been covered over by the elevated nature walk. We by hand dug everything up and then put it into pots. And then those plants, in turn, were used to replant areas where we had some parts of our site covered with reed canary grass or English ivy or some of the other invasive plants that are around.
That are not native, yeah.
Yeah, and then we had the desirable native plant stock to put in their place. And we also wanted to show people that you can construct walkways through environmentally sensitive areas and, again, minimize impact. So we built the foundation piers of our boardwalk, or what are referred to as Diamond Pier Foundation. This company in Gig Harbor that manufactures these. And the envision a piece of concrete that on the bottom has a pointy shape like a diamond does,
mm-hmm,
and then there's metal rods that go down through the concrete up here. So it serves kind of as the link for four metal posts that go down, are literally hammered down through the muck underneath at the surface down to a hard layer of ground down below. In our case, we found the hard layer was on average 36 to 40 inches down below the surface of the wetland area. We had a layer of hard soil.
Hmm.
So we would run run four metal pins down into that and have this concrete block right at the surface level. And then from there, we built our elevated boardwalk, and we used construction-grade 100% recycled plastic lumber. So we didn't use any wood material to create our elevated niche walk. It's half mile long, 100% recycled plastic lumber with over 5,000 deck boards, one of which you sponsored.
And there's rooms for little expansions in the lookout points that people can sponsor the benches or the push-outs on the boardwalk. So there's lots of ways for folks for you to contribute and be part of this incredible project. And didn't you say that the modern shed is built on the same diamond-type concrete things?
It's not exactly the same product. We actually we cast the concrete piers ourselves on that particular location. And when there's certain places where it's not a good idea to be punching pipes down. We had utilities down below. They were already in place below our gatehouse. So we chose not to use the concrete piers that required poking pipes down 30 or 40 inches below.
Okay.
But it still has the same effect. That's not disturbing the underlying soil.
And we're almost out of time, but I did want to also say it is so important, I think, for y'all to become a member of the Northwest Stream or the Stream Keepers Foundation and to start getting involved in the programs and understand. And I think, Tom, did you tell us that sometimes you do actually consult with private parties and so forth as to how to deal with if they've got wetlands on their property or need to do things and how to do it in an environmentally safe and friendly way?
Yeah, our stream ecologists, again, provide local communities with stream wetland restoration technical assistance. We do a lot of these things in partnership with different agencies. So, like on Saturday, March 19th, between 10 and 2, we're going to be planting several thousand streams next to Catherine Creek at 2547 Grade Road by Lake Stevens. And everybody from the public's invited to come over and
help plant
become a stream
trees,
keeper and plant trees to help salmon there.
All right.
But we also will help design and construct bioengineered stream bank stabilization projects where folks have got eroding stream banks. We build fish ladders, and we will construct in-stream fish habitat as well. And we do that in partnership with a number of agencies, including the Salmon Recovery Funding Board with the state of Washington. But we also do work for private parties as well. We're licensed and funded contractors. So we have a kind of a wide range of services from environmental education to stream wetland restoration construction work.
All right. Well, Tom, I want to thank you so much for spending an hour with us here on a Sunday morning. I hope it's just the first of many great discussions we have on the air. And folks, I will be doing current events just as soon as we begin the 11 o'clock hour. So I will give you the details again about the All About Beavers presentation on Thursday and then the First Flight Mother's Hummingbird story. I'll give you those details again. And then to check out all the great stuff we're talking about, the website is www.streamkeeper.org, and that's where you can get all the great information. And once again, Tom, thank you so much for spending this time with us. I look forward to seeing you again soon, and I hope we'll have you back on the show again soon.
It's been fun, and I hope to see you and many of your listeners out at the Northwest Stream Center.
All right, great. You have a great day. Thanks, Tom.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow. I'll tell you, I don't know that I can even impress upon you how much Kathy and I learned about being environmentally sensitive and caring, how important it is to care for our streams and creeks and the area around them and know what you're doing in the environment. And I hope we'll spend more time on the show talking about all of that. Right now, we're going to wrap up hour number two and fire up hour number three. We're going to start with current events as promised, and then we're going to the cats and meow, and then we're going to talk behavior out at Homeward Pet Adoption Center. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.